Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. Today, there are hundreds of diets that people are following to lose weight and keep healthy. But what really is the best diet for your health and longevity? Our special guest today is Dr. John McDougall, MD. Dr. McDougall is the author of The Healthiest Diet on the Planet. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, there's more research on red and processed meat and colon cancer risk. People with stage 3 colon cancer have better outcomes when they avoid certain meat products, consume more plants, and have a healthy body weight, according to a new study from the University of California, San Francisco. Researchers analyzed the diet and lifestyles of 992 stage 3 colon cancer patients over a period of 7 years. Now, those with a body mass index between 18.5 and 24.9 who exercised and followed a diet that was high in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and low in red processed meats had longer overall survival and disease-free survival rates compared with patients who did not meet these parameters. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is, do you recommend a vegetarian or a vegan diet? Now, vegetarian diets, which contain no meat, beef, pork, poultry, or fish or shellfish, they are naturally low in saturated fat, high in fiber, and full of vitamins and minerals and cancer-fighting compounds. Now, there is a multitude of studies. These are scientific studies that have shown that vegetarian diets have remarkable health benefits and can help prevent certain diseases such as cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. Now, I encourage vegetarian diets as a way of improving your general health and preventing diet-related diseases. Now, when it comes to vegan diets, which contain no animal products, that means no meat, no dairy, no eggs, or any other animal product, they are even healthier than vegetarian diets. Vegan diets contain no cholesterol and even less saturated fat, less total fat, and less calories than vegetarian diets because they exclude dairy products and eggs. Scientific research shows that health benefits increase as the amount of foods from animal sources in the diet decreases, making a vegan diet the healthiest overall.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And our featured guest today is Dr. John McDougall, MD. Dr. McDougall is founder and director of the nationally renowned McDougall Program, a 10-day residential medical program that he and his wife, Mary, host in Santa Rosa, California. He is certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine and the National Board of Medical Examiners. He is the author of several national best-selling books, including the one we're going to be talking about today, The Healthiest Diet on the Planet. And Dr. McDougall, it's great to have you on today.
Well, thank you. And this is a good book to talk about. It is Mary's and my latest book. And it has kind of a history to it, John, if
you'd
like to start there.
Sure.
I've been in the communication business for at least, 1977, so it'd be 40 years. I've been in the communication business in the sense that I knew back in 1977, I knew what people should eat. I knew they should live on starches like rice, corn, potatoes, beans, peas, and lentils with some fruits and vegetables, and should not be eating animals of any kind, including chickens and cows and fishes and toads or their milk. And so I knew that back in 1977. And since then, I've been trying to communicate the message.
Right.
The time the healthiest diet on the planet was conceived. And the way that was conceived, John, is that Harper Collins,
yes,
in the form of Harper One Book Company, came to me and asked me to write another book. And they offered me a lot of money to do it. But Mary and I refused to do that. And that was in, I think, January 2015.
Okay.
Because, you know, we just didn't see people getting it through reading words. As a result, I declined, even in the face of a large amount of money, I declined to do a book with them. Well, our conversation continued. And because of an event that happened almost 6 months before, which was in June of 2014, I had some ideas that I presented at that meeting in 2015 and continued to pursue. In June of 2014, we are on an adventure travel trip where we take people all over the world.
Right.
A bunch of people, 100 people, 150 people, and so on. And I wrote a slideshow, which was called Dr. McDougall's Book on Food Poisoning and How to Cure It by Eating Rice, Corn, Beans, Peas, Lentils, etc.
Okay.
I put the slideshow together in June of 2014, and I fell in love with it because it was a picture book. It told people about what diseases of food poisoning were, you know, like heart disease and obesity and diabetes and arthritis, constipation, and so on. And then it clearly outlined what the food poisons were.
Right.
And the food poisons fall into two categories, John. You got to make things simple for people.
Right.
So I put it into two categories. One was animal foods. And people can identify, if they look, not even carefully, if they look, they can identify something as from an animal, either being its muscles or brains or secretions, like in the form of milk and cheese. People can identify that. So that was one category of food poisoning. And the other category was vegetable oil, like corn oil, safflower oil, olive oil, you know, all the good oils and bad oils. They are on the other category of food poisoning. And a lot of your listeners, even though they may be health-oriented, may be thinking right now, well, you know, that's all I eat. And that animal food category also includes fake meats, like Loma Linda meats and Morningstar meats and fake hot dogs and fake burgers, etc.
Uh-huh.
That's in that group of, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it probably is a duck, even if you make it out of soy. So anyway, I had these food categories that I've just told you about, which is animal foods or foods that are intended to look and taste like animal foods.
Right.
And vegetable oils. And a lot of your listeners are sitting now, John, and they're saying to themselves, there's nothing left to eat. And that's because they don't understand that the human diet is a diet based on starches, which are beans, corn, rice, potatoes, sweet potatoes, breads, pastas, etc. That's the human diet. That's what almost all human beings have obtained the bulk of their calories from, is starch, throughout all of verifiable human history. Like in Central America, we had the people of the corn, which were the Aztecs and Mayans, and in South America, it was people in the Andes who live off potatoes. And in the Far East, people think about rice as being the basic diet. Wherever you look, throughout all of human history, the basis of the human diet, where most of the calories came from, was various kinds of starches, with the addition of fruits and vegetables, and meat was pretty much an opportunistic food. People only ate it on occasion, and usually rare occasions. So anyway, I put this slideshow together. I showed it at our adventure weekend in June of 2014. And then in January 2015, Harper came to me and asked me to write a book. I presented for them my slide presentation, and they just didn't even hear me. And even after I turned down the opportunity to write this book with a great advance, they still weren't listening. My good friend Jeff Novick had told me clearly, people don't read anymore. They only look at pictures on their devices. So don't bother writing another book. Finally, in about June of 2015, they listened to what I had to say, and they said, okay, we'll do a color picture book for you, even though we know it's going to be expensive. And so we worked for the next few months on a color picture book and eventually put together my slideshow, which you can see for free on my website, drmcdougall.com.
Oh, great.
Not only can you see it in English, it's in 24 different languages. The color picture book is. So that turned out to be the center of the book. There are three chapters in the beginning. And then Mary put in, about 60 recipes, and many of them were in color, which is the first time we've ever had any of our recipes put in a color picture form. So it was a real important breakthrough in terms of communication. And still, there are many people who say it was, and I don't mean to be bragging, but they say it was a genius step to take and turn these ideas into simple pictures so that people could see them, could relate to them, and would find it undeniable.
Well, I'm looking at some of the pictures here in the center of the book right now, and it's very, I really like this because you've kind of divided it up into red light foods, green light foods, and then the yellow light foods. Of course, the red light don't eat, the green, the ones that you can eat abundance of if you want to, and then the yellow caution, of course, be careful. And I can see showing someone this makes it really clear and easy to understand. And like you say, you don't have to do a lot of reading, but the visuals are great. Boy, you're even pretty graphic. I see one guy sitting on the pot here.
Yeah, that's the one. I showed my grandkids this book, or the slideshow, when I got home in 2014. And I asked them, they were 6, 8, and 10 years old. I asked them if they understood what these red lights and yellow lights and green lights meant. And they said, sure, Grandpa. We know that means stop. That means go. That means caution. And then I went through all the pictures of people with heart disease and cancer and
right.
so on.
Mm-hmm.
And they liked them. And they understood them, that these were diseases that people get. When they got to the picture of constipation, they really got excited. These little boys love that picture, too. You know, it has to be with our natural feelings.
Right.
Anyway, so we put that together, and then we put together some Mary's favorite recipes. So, yes, it's very visual. And it is the kind of book where you can go to Uncle George or Aunt Millie or, you know, Cousin Jane, and you can say, I know you don't have time to read, and you've heard about the way I think you should eat or the way I eat. You can spend 10 minutes going through these pictures, and you'll understand exactly what you're supposed to do. And you'll be able to do it, and you will find the recipes, the pictures, very appealing.
They are. And very good.
Reading the recipes will be very appealing for you. So it was a major step in communication that Mary and I took for this new book. And it actually, it's in its third or fourth printing now.
Oh, great.
So it's done very well. Harper is very pleased with the sales. I'm pleased with the results and the simplicity of education and the beauty of the book. So I would say it's well worth adding that to your collection of our other 12 McDougall books.
I've given it out as gifts to a couple of people, and I love the title because it also kind of ties in, you know, it's the healthiest diet on the planet, but it's also the healthiest diet for the planet.
Yeah.
With the interest today in the environmental effects of the foods that we eat.
Well, that's so important, John. I'm running a program, a 10-day living program here in Santa Rosa now, and we have 53 people in the program. And we have one medical student, and she likewise liked the book a lot. But she did ask me yesterday. She said, you know, this information, and she's read a lot of it, a lot of information on diet and the cause and treatment of disease. It's out there. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of papers, and I synthesized them into has several national best-selling books. Some are recipe books, but some of them are about the research. And she said to me, you know, all this research is out there. Everybody knows this. There's great will to do this because people are so sick. I mean, 38% of the population is obese.
Right.
You know, half of people get heart disease, breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer, or epidemic diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, et cetera. She says, you know, people are so ill. And the burden of the medical care system is so great on our economy and individuals, and healthcare provision is such a big topic. What is it going to take to get our world, our country, our local communities, what's it going to take to get them to approach these problems from the point of view of prevention and cure, just like we do now with cigarette smoking? Now, 50 years ago, when I was a cigarette smoker, we didn't really understand the importance of cigarette smoking. They would advertise, baseball players would advertise cigarettes and models would advertise cigarettes. And there were messages out there that was really confusing as to whether cigarettes were harmful to health.
Right.
But nowadays, where fewer than 20% of the population smokes as opposed to 50% back then, nowadays people have a choice because they really know cigarette smoking is harmful.
Right.
And we no longer have a 2-martini lunch as a standard. People consider it socially disgraceful to get drunk at meals in public.
Mm-hmm.
So that's changed. But what hasn't changed is the food thing.
Right.
And the food thing, the same foods that were killing people as much, making them fat.
Right.
Less so, but really in some ways as much. Back 50 years ago, the same foods that we eat today, but even with greater enthusiasm. More consumption of meat and dairy than there was 50 years ago. Not just in the United States, but all over the world. China has become a country with the incidence of obesity and diabetes similar to the U.S. India, the same thing. The rates of obesity and diabetes and breast cancer and so on are skyrocketing. Of course, you probably heard that India launched a space rocket last week. And
yes.
Doing similar. I mean, they're all have become wealthy countries due to the Industrial Revolution, due to the harnessing of fossil fuels. So anyway, should be a well-recognized epidemic, and the cause should be clear with anybody who has any knowledge of geography or history. There should be no question about it. So she asked me, what's going to change things? Are they ever going to change? And the answer is yes, they are going to change. They're going to be changed because of an unstoppable force, which is called Mother Nature. Mother Nature doesn't care whether or not the dairy industry survives or the meat industry survives. She's fighting back with something we would well know as climate change or global warming. And there's flooding and storms and droughts and all kinds of things that many people, especially well-informed people, realize that this is the sign of the end of the world. And it may not be changeable. But believe me, it's going to progress unless we do some drastic things. And one of the drastic things we have to do is to change the food, because over half of the greenhouse gases produced come from the livestock industry. So there's a step that we can make immediately. You know, we can't give everybody an electric car. We can't solarize all rooftops. That would take us 10, 20, 30 years. But tomorrow, John, tomorrow, if our leaders got up, like Ellen White once did, if our leaders got up and said that the rich Western diet, the American diet, is killing people in epidemics, but it also is the cause of the future for our children and grandchildren, and we can start a major change in terms of climate change, global warming. But we have to start with the food, because today we could switch from a diet. Everybody in the world could. I mean, it's certainly a possibility.
Sure.
Everybody in the world could change from eating chickens and cows and pigs and their secretions and so on to eating rice, corn, potatoes, beans, peas, and lentils.
Right.
And then the production of global warming gases by the livestock industry would be immediately put on the decline and could be eliminated in a matter of whenever all the cows and chickens die.
Right. Well, you know, it's something, you know, we almost have to change culture. I mean, the food interests, the big food companies and so forth, and all the food that the kids are eating. You know, we think of the future generations. I was in the room when the former Surgeon General made the statement, the way things are going with diet and nutrition and obesity in this generation, many parents will outlive their own children. So we need to think of the future generations for health, but also for the whole planet.
I have 7 grandchildren. I know you have 1 child.
Yes.
I have 3 children. That's basically what gets me up in the morning and causes me to do interviews like this one with you. Of course, you and I have been good friends for 35 years.
That's right.
But, you know, causes me to get up and travel and go on TV and write, newsletters and do webinars every week. And
yeah,
because I do believe there is a future that's possible.
Right.
But it's going to take dramatic new understandings.
It is.
Dramatic changes. But it's within our realm to do this. But it can't be done without drastically changing our diet from an animal food-based diet to a starch-based diet. Where again, starch is rice, corn, potatoes, beans, peas, lentils, sweet potatoes, etc. The foods that most people have consumed throughout all of human history.
Well, unfortunately, with all that's trying to go on in revising the Obamacare and the healthcare system, not much is mentioned about this. And when we know that what we call lifestyle medicine is really the future of medicine, and if we really want to, you know, I actually wrote a letter to Donald Trump at the White House, the idea of, you know, we want to make America great again, but we want to make America healthy again, too. And that comes through this type of approach to good nutrition, and as along with exercise and stress control and other lifestyle habits, that we can really make an impact, not just on saving money on cheaper drugs and cheaper medical costs, but improve the health of Americans.
Well, everything you say is true, John, but I just like to offer a different emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on my 50 years in medicine. I've been in medicine for a half a century. As we're taught as learning doctors, and I'm sure learning dietitians, you were taught the same thing.
Right.
We're taught that it's diet and lifestyle. That unfortunately gives us a scapegoat. And that is diet and lifestyle. Well, lifestyle, well, that means I need to get more exercise and I need to think good thoughts. But, you know, it's not exercise and good thoughts, John. It's the food.
Well,
and when you give somebody an opportunity to sidestep, oh, it's diet and lifestyle. Well, I'll go out and walk a little bit more, or I'll think better thoughts, or I'll go to church this Saturday. You know, when you give them that out, then they are able to sidestep the problem, which is the food.
Right.
So that's...
No, I agree that the diet is probably the most important part of this. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I threw that in. It's still the common message of dietetic schools and medical schools and so on to teach us diet and lifestyle. And to add that word lifestyle in takes the focus off the real problem, which is the food.
Right. Well, as Hippocrates said, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. And when you think about world history, before there was medicine, there was food. And they ate the type of diet that you're recommending is the healthiest diet on the planet, a diet based on starch-type foods along with fruits and vegetables. Plant-based diet is the way to go.
Well, John, back then, 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago with the pharaohs and the priests and priestesses, back then, people who just opened their eyes could see that the kings and queens and aristocrats, the royalty, were fat and sick.
Right.
And also knew exactly what they ate. They didn't eat the barley and the rice and the corn and so on as their primary food. They'd recycle it through a pig or a cow or a chicken first, just like Americans do. And as a result, their diet was a diet high in meat and not the food of common people. And so for at least 4,000 years, we've recognized that rich foods give people artery disease. I guess we didn't know it was artery disease until recently when we did autopsies and CAT scans on these old pharaohs. But maybe they did. Maybe they looked in the bodies and they saw these atherosclerotic lesions. So they may have been well aware of atherosclerosis 4,000 years ago. There's probably evidence as to whether they did. But yeah, it's an observation that has been made for all of humankind that rich people who abandoned the traditional starch-based diets. Look at the first chapter of Daniel in the Bible.
Right.
That's 2,600 years ago. Daniel was well aware that the food of royalty made people fat and sick. And he actually asked the gatekeeper to test it in a controlled experiment for 10 days.
That's right.
The same number of days as my program. So, and they knew back then, it's published clearly, a controlled trial showing the people who ate pulses and water, in other words, starches and water,
right,
looked healthier and younger and were stronger than the people who ate the king's food.
That's right.
So, you know, it goes on forever. Why don't we recognize it? Here in the 21st century, John, it's something that was discussed many times in the Bible, every place else in history. It's money. It has nothing to do with anything else. No conspiracy. Nobody's out to try and hurt you. They're just out to try and make money.
Yeah.
And so who makes money off people eating rich foods? Well, the rich food industry. Potatoes and rice are pretty non-profitable. The rich food industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the hospitals in your community.
You got to make food your medicine, and that's where it's at. And we're out of time, John, but I want to mention again, the book is The Healthiest Diet on the Planet, written by Dr. John McDougall, along with his wife, Mary McDougall, published by Harper One. And John, why don't you give us your website and your phone numbers to learn more about the McDougall program?
Now, let me just give you the website.
Okay.
Because it's less confusing, but we do have an 800 number, which you'll find on the website.
Okay.
The website is drmcdougall.com, which is www.drmcdougall.com. Dr. McDougall, drmcdougall.com. And one of the things you're going to be struck by, and I'm very proud of this, is when you look through the website, you'll find essentially everything is free.
Well, John, thank you so much for being with us today and continue the great works. And
thank you for thinking of me.
Thanks, John. Now, some of our listeners have said that they have missed a show, and if you would like to listen to past shows, go to our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. Again, you go to healthandlongevityradio.com.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for this week. Until our next broadcast, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.